For most of 2020, health workers have been consumed with caring for others, but it's also important for them to remember to take care of themselves.
You really do have to make that opportunity to stop and take care of yourself the priority. And sooner or later, you're going to be the one in need of help then, and you aren't going to be able to help.
That's OSF Healthcare's Dr. Samuel Sears. I'm Daniel Musisi, and this is WCBU's On Deck from Peoria Public Radio.
Support for WCBU's On Deck comes from listeners like you. Join the community of news consumers who listen to this podcast and are willing to support it financially. Contribute at WCBU.org.
Today is Tuesday, December 15th, and this is WCBU's On Deck from Peoria Public Radio. The Peoria City Council will vote to approve a consent decree with the US EPA after 14 years of negotiations over the city's combined sewer overflow problems. Kristen McHugh reports.
Combined sewer overflow, or CSO, means raw sewage flows into the river after heavy rainfall or snow melts. City Manager Patrick Urich says the consent decree requires the city to resolve the CSO issue over the next 18 months.
We are moving towards almost 100% reduction of our CSO volume.
The agreed-upon green CSO solution will cost around $109 million, but Public Works Director Rick Powers says that's a much better deal for the city than the original plan.
The original estimate with completely gray infrastructure was substantially higher than the $109 million that we now have as a proposed agreement.
But Urich says city residents should still expect an impact on their wallets.
Ratepayer inside the city of Peoria, beginning in 2023, not anytime sooner, we would be looking at probably on an annualized basis about $5.50, and then it would go up from there as we continue into the program.
The city council meets at noon today to vote on the consent decree approval. Urich says the formal federal court process will likely take another 6 months or so after that. I'm Kristen McHugh.
Here are some of the stories on deck in the WCBU newsroom. The state of Illinois cast its 20 electoral votes for Democrat Joe Biden yesterday as the Electoral College met to finalize the results of the presidential election. A state Senate committee held a hearing to determine what's needed to make the University of Illinois' saliva-based rapid COVID-19 test available to all public universities throughout the state. And U.S. Senators Dick Durbin and Tammy Duckworth are calling for an investigation into political considerations influencing the placement of new C-130J military aircraft. This comes after the 182nd Airlift Wing in Peoria was passed over to receive the new planes. Find more on these stories and others at WCBU.org. For months, health workers have been the front line of defense in the ongoing fight against COVID-19. But after several months, some have pushed themselves beyond their limits. Tim Shelley spoke with Dr. Samuel Sears, OSF Healthcare's Director of Behavioral Health Physician Services, about the toll of the pandemic on health workers and how he's planning to manage the resulting stress and tension.
So you can't really discuss how COVID's affecting healthcare workers without understanding the general toll it's taken on everybody, because at the end of the day, our healthcare workers are, you know, people just like everyone else. So you get the general, you know, weariness and challenge that everyone's gone through the pandemic. But then even in their work life, it's directly right in their face dealing with the challenges, both in terms of changes to the job and how the job's done. Many of them are caring directly for individuals with COVID, a disease that unfortunately has claimed many lives, and for the folks that live through it is often very challenging for the ones that end up in the hospital. And so you really don't have them getting a whole lot of escape from that between dealing with the repercussions in their personal life, their work life, and again, just some of the general concerns and fears that people can deal with in taking care of folks with a, you know, concerning infectious illness that really a lot of providers have never had to stop and think, I did sign up to, put my life on the line to help other folks, but this really kind of hammers that home in ways that maybe they've never really dealt with before in their career.
I just imagine that this kind of thing just wears you down. I mean, especially working extra hours to maybe make up for other colleagues who are quarantined or infected themselves and off work. I mean, it's just, it's got to be a lot of extra work beyond even what our medical staff is used to normally.
And that's precisely it. When you take a situation that before the pandemic even struck, we knew that we were, you know, lower end providers than we needed within the country. There was a healthcare shortage across the nation. And then you add, okay, now we're going to have X percent of the workforce out quarantining so as to not risk getting other people sick. That's, you know, a significant strain on things. And as people work longer hours, that does contribute to their feelings of, can I keep pushing through? What do I do to take care of myself? How do I balance these things? And taking care of oneself is so vitally important through all of this. It's just like when they get you on a plane and say, okay, in the event of an emergency, you need to put on your breathing mask before you help anyone else with theirs. The same is true of taking care of yourself in the middle of this pandemic. If you're not taking care of yourself, sooner or later, you're going to break down, and then you're not going to be able to be there to help anybody else. That's where it really is such an ethical importance. Maintain good self-care, even when it feels like, I'm better than that guy, though. I can, you know, help out more. You really do have to make that opportunity to stop and take care of yourself the priority. And sooner or later, you're going to be the one in need of help then, and you aren't going to be able to help.
And doctor, in your position as the director of behavioral health services for physicians and medical staff, I mean, what's your role in making sure that, you know, the staff at the hospitals and I guess everywhere within the OSF network remain, you know, basically mentally and emotionally well?
We've done a lot of awareness campaigning, both in terms of during physician calls, staff education, some of our newsletters like the Spark, in terms of getting the information out about how important self-care is, the resources for helping maintain self-care, and just really the importance of really connecting with the things that help us be well. So in terms of the little things people can do every day, connecting with kind of things that renew us and support us in our wellness is first and foremost.
If you're suffering with burnout or other emotional health issues during COVID-19, go to WCBU.org for more information about available assistance. Thanks for choosing WCBU's On Deck from Peoria Public Radio. I'm Daniel Musisi. Support for WCBU's On Deck comes from listeners like you. Join the community of news consumers who listen to this podcast and are willing to support it financially. Contribute at WCBU.org.